Ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it. The one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is Pratt on Texas. Well, a special edition of Pratt on Texas. I've got to have the day to work on things related to our return to radio airwaves coming up on Monday. Listen to us at 98.7 FM, AM 1420 out of Lubbock, KWBF, and also in the big country of Abilene, the Monster FM 96.1, Q Country Radio, all at 5 o'clock on Monday. Now, the big issue in the pro-life movement, really nationwide besides things going on in legislative sessions, is the vote in Lubbock, Texas. A May 1st vote for a major pro-life ordinance that bans conducting abortions inside the city limits of Lubbock. Who got all this started? Who really began the ball rolling at getting these ordinances put together with expert help? Well, none other than Mark Lee Dixon. Well, I sat down with Mark Lee Dixon for over an hour to talk about the ordinance, the legality of such, the arguments made against such, the odd positions, contradictory, hypocritical positions taken by Lubbock City Council members and the mayor, and things of that nature. What follows is the first half of that interview. The second half of that interview will be posted tomorrow on the podcast page here at Pratt on Texas. So here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, visiting with Mark Lee Dixon. He is an advocate for passing the pro-life ordinance in Lubbock. It's the Lubbock Ordinance outlawing abortion in the city limits of Lubbock, Texas. Mark, thanks for taking time. I want to go into some detail in all of this, maybe a little bit more than some of the other coverage, not because we want to pick it apart, but because frankly, sometimes using platitudes only can do your side harm on an issue. I'm not saying anybody's doing that, but I have heard others and read some of the talking points around. And frankly, they don't answer the objections of some very good people that have mentioned things to me. And I want to try to do that. I mean, we want everybody voting for life in Lubbock, Texas on this election coming up on May 1st. Mark, first of all, what's your involvement in this project?
Well, I am the one who started this whole thing. I was on the sidewalk in an abortion facility in Shreveport, Louisiana, called Hope Medical Group for Women. And I overheard I didn't overhear. There was someone there on the sidewalk who had been there for an abortion. And I was trying to encourage her to choose life. And she said, well, the people on the inside of that clinic, they were telling her that clinic may close down. And it reminded me of some articles I had read, which said that if abortion was shut down in Louisiana, then it would make sense for them to cross the border to Wascom, Texas, where someone had pledged land and a building for their use. And so we ended up reached out to the mayor of Wascom. And they were the first city to pass an ordinance outlawing abortion within their city limits. And of course, now we're at 24 cities. We just had our 24th city this past week. And actually, that was the first city outside the state of Texas, Hays Center, Nebraska. So we have 23 cities in Texas and one city in Nebraska, and there's other cities in Nebraska that are talking about passing this ordinance as well.
All right, let's talk about the ordinance, because we know that the city council in Lubbock did, I thought it was grotesque, the telling everyone they're pro-life, or many of them saying they're pro-life, but then simply deciding to reject this ordinance, and it was brought to them, folks, by petition under the city charter, and thus they had to take a vote on it, and that's why there's a public vote now. They failed to adopt it, and thus the way the charter language works, when you do the petition, it then goes to the people for a vote. It was rather grotesque to claim to be pro-life and then vote against this, primarily because of what they claimed were concerns over liability. Now, when you're doing your fiduciary duty, serving on any board or something like that, you certainly do have to look at liability. Of course, we understand that governments have things that individual private parties don't, such as sovereign immunity on so many things. And one has to ask yourself then, where is the order of morality, of moral purpose or moral hierarchy with members of the Lubbock City Council and its mayor? Because every single time the city does anything, every time a policeman makes a stop or makes an arrest, there is an issue, a serious issue of liability. Every time someone is taken into custody, there is a serious issue of liability. And people can say, well, Robert, that's policing. That's policing. They have to do that well. The first role of government before related to policing is the protection of innocent life. And I don't know how this somehow slides down the slimy scale to being less important. There's liability when the city buys property that was near derelict that they were issuing orders to have shut down and then converts it into a city hall. And then, of course, immediately after reopening, we have a big flood rainstorm and the tunnels underneath it and the offices flood. There's liability in everything a city does. And yet these people said, well, we're pro-life, but, you know, we're afraid of a little liability. Now, you could maybe understand that if they were talking about personal liability. In other words, a councilman thinking, well, now, wait a minute, This stuff is really bad. And you might say, well, he was just being selfish. The fact of the matter is this mayor and these city council people don't have any personal liability over this stuff. And the way I read the ordinance, any liability the city would have, well, there really isn't any. Explain why, because government can't enforce this. The government side, the public, the government enforceability cannot be done unless the law or the court precedent is changed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So this is something that, of course, we've seen this in cities all across Texas, and it's also happening in Senate Bill 8 and House Bill 1515, the Heartbeat Act. We've realized that as soon as an abortion restriction, any kind of abortion ban is passed, What does the court do? What does the abortion industry do? They end up they try to stop it, and they go after those who are enforcing the law. And so we have found a way to pass a law that actually the abortion industry can't stop from happening. And so since the government themselves, the Lubbock City government, would not be enforcing this law, this would be enforced by private citizens. And so those lawsuits are going to happen.
Let's talk about that. Wait a minute. When you say the government will not be enforcing it, people are going to say, well, what's the point of the ordinance? It's a city ordinance. They're passing it. And your ordinance indeed does deal with the public or the private, I guess you would say, private enforcement, people outside of government. But let's stick with the public enforcement, meaning public, ladies and gentlemen, meaning government. In other words, publicly owned or publicly operated entity.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows4tx.com. God bless you. God bless the unborn. And please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
the city went and hired this law firm that has connections to the abortion. The people in it have connections to the abortion industry. And they knew what they were getting. They have a big legal staff at the city of Lubbock, one of the larger for a city its size. They didn't go to their own legal staff to research the legality of an ordinance, which is kind of interesting, given that that sort of is the main purpose of maintaining a city legal staff. They went to a law firm that would give them the result that they wanted, which would cast doubt in people's minds that this can even be done. And there's a lot of things that firm recommends that's rather odd or says that's rather odd in their report. But in this, we're not saying that the city can't enforce the ordinance against abortion when at any time. The point is they can't enforce it until there is a major change at the federal level through the Supreme Court or other venue that changes the circumstances under Roe v. Wade. And I guess a bedrock point of that is that the Roe v. Wade decision did not repeal and did not force the repealing of Texas law that says abortion is illegal. So,
correct.
So the city isn't under any liability, if I understand it right, because you have to show harm to sue. And if the city doesn't enforce this, in other words, they can't go levy a fine against somebody right now under this ordinance who's performing an abortion. They can't, let's put it this way, they can't enforce the collection of a fine. So what's the big worry on that side of it? Is, you know, what's their big worry about liability? Because if you read this, they can't do anything until the law of the state of Texas, which the city's subordinate to as well, is reinforceable because of a change to the precedent set by Roe v. Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right. So I don't really know why the city of Lubbock is not jumping at this like many other city councils are. I mean, if Lubbock is such a, if Mayor Pope is so pro-life, then why isn't he the loudest advocate for this? Obviously, this first came before the city of Lubbock by Senator Charles Perry and Representatives Burroughs and Frullo. And they encouraged the mayor and city council to pass this ordinance. And you would think that the local leadership would take that as a great opportunity to stand right alongside their elected officials, but they didn't.
What is the, going to that report from the handpicked law firm they chose, what was their, off the top of your head, what, on this first part, this government enforcement of the ordinance, what were their objections to that?
Well, they believe that that this is going against state law. And that's just not the case.
Well, state law still makes abortion illegal.
Exactly.
So where is it going against state law? I mean, I guess they could say, well, a municipality doesn't have the authority to act in this. But in some sense, this is much like the zoning decisions about having adult or so-called adult nude entertainment and things like that in cities. People have the right to regulate those businesses or ban them.
Absolutely. And the way that things are written, you know, home rule cities get their power from the Constitution, and they look to the legislature only as the limit to their authority. And so they can do anything that is not specifically prohibited by state law. And there is nothing in state law that says we can't regulate or prohibit abortion within our jurisdiction.
But their conclusion is that somehow this goes against state law. I mean,
correct.
I'm talking about the law firm that and the city council's hiding behind the skirts of these opinions. And that's all they are, is opinions expressed by people who, again, you need to understand, the people in this firm going way back have very deep connections, and the people, the name on it and various people have deep connections to the abortion industry. They knew what they were doing when they went to this firm to get the opinion. Okay, so the city itself, government can't enforce this ordinance the way it's written until and unless there are changes at the federal level. In other words, the Supreme Court overrules Roe v. Wade and permits states to punish people who violate an abortion prohibition, or the state and federal court enters a declaratory judgment or otherwise rules that this stuff can go on. And it's, in other words, the city can't have liability directly for enforcing an ordinance on people if, well, it can't, because the ordinance itself says that the city cannot enforce it until there's a change. And if there's a change, the city would actually be going counter to law in not going along with state law, which state law, you know, in other words, if Roe v. Wade's overturned, state law says abortion's illegal in Texas. Are they not? Are they going to say that they will not issue an arrest? I can see that happening in the city of Austin, for example. I mean, if Roe v. Wade's overturned, the state of Texas law then becomes enforceable again, and we issue arrests over these baby butchers. Maybe in Austin they tell their police force not to go do so. But in Lubbock, Texas, is that what the city of Lubbock's going to do here?
Absolutely. So Senator Brian Hughes, when he was speaking about Senate Bill 8 on the Senate floor, he brought up a really good point. There's already DAs across the United States that have said if Roe v. Wade is overruled, then they are going to refuse to prosecute violators. Well, wait a second. You know, that's really scary, isn't it? That DAs are going to refuse to prosecute violators of these abortion laws if Roe v. Wade is overturned. So we've got to be really mindful about who we're putting in office and who our judges are, who our mayor and city council members are, all of our elected officials.
But
these things affect a lot.
Doesn't that make the case as to why it is worthwhile for the people to pass such an ordinance so that they remove that kind of discretion from people who, I mean, I guess the prosecutorial discretion would still exist, but you have a city council that has shown themselves to be hostile to the idea of protecting life through ordinance. Maybe that's why, because there are a lot of people who simply hide behind the skirts of Roe v. Wade right now and say, oh, well, we're really pro-life. But in practicality, if that's overturned, they're scared to death of it because they actually are pro-abortion. Otherwise, right. Why run away from the ordinance, especially if passed by the people of Lubbock? I mean, then you can stand there and say, I didn't vote for it, but it passed. But we have people actively opposing this from the city. The city's putting out materials to oppose it. Well, in the sense of their advisory opinion. Let's be careful with that. Not direct, at least at this moment, direct electioneering. I don't think that's legal. But nevertheless, I don't think that would matter whether it's legal. Now, let's talk a little bit about the other enforcement. And this is one where Councilwoman Latrell Joy, who's a Democrat, said that it really caused her concern. And my question on this whole, this is about in the city ordinance, saying that individuals can be any person, corporation, or entity who commits an unlawful act described in Section D, which is the providing of an abortion, shall be subject to maximum penalty provided under Texas law for a violation of a municipal ordinance. So the ordinance is not stepping beyond municipal authority into state authority. And then, again, as we talked about, it says that none of the city's officers or anybody like that can engage in enforcement. And that's all this public enforcement that we've just been talking about until the Supreme Court overrules this or there's another, you know, major change. Then you get to private enforcement. And this is interesting because what it is it's sort of a return to the way the country was originally established, and that is torts. Anybody can, it says that any person, corporation, or entity that commits an unlawful act described in this ordinance, which is providing an abortion, other than the mother of the unborn child has been aborted, in other words, the mother is kept out of this throughout the thing, we're focused on the actual baby murderers, shall be liable in tort to the unborn child's mother, father, grandparents, siblings, and half-siblings. The person or entity that committed the unlawful act shall be liable to each surviving relative of the aborted child for compensatory damages, punitive damages, costs, and attorney's fees, and there's no statute of limitations. Now, a lot of people say, okay, well, that's family members. Then the little two is any private citizen. other than those individuals may bring an action to enforce the ordinance against a person or entity, meaning the abortionist that committed this, and be awarded injunctive relief in statutory damages, which is, I mean, like, it's not a money train for them. It's more about getting it stopped with injunctive relief. This is an interesting thing, and it seems to have a lot of people confused, because can a city decide what can come before the state courts?
So as a home rule city, they have that ability to do anything that is not forbidden by the state law, by the Constitution in state law. So that's their standard. And so there is nothing in state law that says that they cannot create these private cause of actions for citizens. And when they do that, I mean, that is the most that we can do. I mean, we're trying to find what can we do to really make an impact on this issue, to protect innocent life that's been made in the image of God. And so this is not something we just are doing on the city level. I mean, we're seeing it done on the state level as well. And, you know, we're here because the whole Sanctuary City for the Unborn movement, to begin with, is what came to be because of a little amendment in Senate Bill 22, which was passed in the 86th legislative session. And Senate Bill 22, if you remember, that was what was passed in 2019 to stop Austin from giving the taxpayer money to Planned Parenthood. So it recognizes
renting them a facility for like a dollar for 10 years or something like that, a taxpayer funded facility. And of course, now that's been made illegal. So what they're doing is providing money and stuff for transportation and all kinds of things to take people to some other facility. They just won't stop.
And Jonathan Stickland had put in an amendment to Senate Bill 22, which said nothing in Senate Bill 22 prohibited cities from outlawing cities from prohibiting abortion within their jurisdiction.
So in other words,
so
state law,
that's what gave the idea.
So in other words, it's ridiculous to claim this is against state law, because state law specifically now grants, under that Senate bill from the last legislative session, specifically grants municipalities the right to outlaw abortion within their jurisdiction. And no court has struck that down. Thus, that is the law. So how do these pro-abortion folks, or at least anti-ordinance folks, make the case that this is contrary to state law? I'm not asking you to make their argument, but what are they saying?
Well, so some of the things they say, and this was so interesting, and when we first received the little talking points from Olson and Olson, the abbreviated talking points of here's why
they were
this ordinance.
Weak.
They
were very weak. I read those right away, and I was a little bit, it was bad enough y'all went to an outside law firm, but if that's all you got, I mean, boy, that could have been ginned up just over coffee. But anyway, go ahead.
And a few of those statements, too, I just want to read a few of the statements that was made in the first thing they released. It says, if enacted, the ordinance would be void because it is contrary to Texas law. Well,
really?
When they said that, they never really addressed the fact that the pre-Roe statutes have never been repealed.
Did they not? Did they make a citation? See, this is what bothered me when I read it. Now, it was a bullet point deal. Okay, so maybe they didn't put citations in it. But for those of you who, you know, when you read legal stuff and you get really tired of it because you're not a lawyer and you see these little brackets at the end and they that's a citation. And it says, here's the case, here's the precedent, or here's the law. I don't remember exactly, but I don't remember them giving us a citation as to where this is contrary to state law. It sounds to me just like an assertion like any man off the street could make.
Absolutely.
In fact, state law does provide for this, because you mentioned, was it SB 22?
Well, SB 22, but I mean, we're not just standing on SB 22.
I understand, but let's just start with that. That's recent. This firm
Absolutely.
Would know all about that, because that got a tremendous amount of media attention. And of course, the entire abortion industry was all over that bill. It was just 2 years ago and it passed, and it specifically gave municipalities the authority to outlaw abortion within their jurisdiction. So state law, fresh state law, says that cities can do this, and then get to your point, because these statutes were not repealed and the Supreme Court did not compel states to repeal their statutes. And for those of you that don't know the history of Roe v. Wade, that plaintiff, that person is from Texas. So it's not even indirect in our case. Talk about that.
And well, just to take a step back on that issue of the Senate Bill 22's amendments, what Jonathan Stickland, who is the representative from Bedford, who put that there, when he put that forth, he's made statements about this, and he said this amendment in and of itself did not, allow cities to outlaw abortion, but right. It just reminded them that they could, because this is something that cities could always do, but they'd never done.
Right.
Because
in other words, it let them ban it within their jurisdiction. That's different from outlawing. Right. That's why I brought up the issue of strip clubs, totally nude clubs, this kind of thing, because cities have long enjoyed the ability to have zoning and other rules that say certain functions cannot happen within the jurisdiction of the city. And correct. Some people want to say, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. No, there's a lot of things that cities have that right to, and that bill affirms that right to say that the process cannot happen within their jurisdiction. That's very different than saying that the city of Lubbock passing an ordinance outlaws abortion everywhere. Obviously, it wouldn't. It would make it illegal within its jurisdiction, and somebody might drive a block over and be outside of that jurisdiction, and there might be a new Planned Parenthood clinic there. It's just a different thing, and yet some people are trying to say that this ordinance is a massive overreach because it's letting the city, outlaw something. It's not. And get back to what you were saying again about the laws are still on the books.
Absolutely. So these laws have never been repealed, and so according to state law, abortion is still a criminal act. And they don't want to deal with that. They want to believe that the Supreme Court struck down these laws, which the thing is, the Supreme Court can't strike down laws. That's not their ability. Now, we use that phrase, but I mean, it's a horrible phrase we really should abandon, because the Supreme Court does not make law. They issue opinions. And so all the Supreme Court is able to do is say that a law is unconstitutional and therefore unenforceable, but they cannot repeal that law. The only ones who can repeal that law would be the legislature, which enacted that law.
Right, and so the law becomes rather moot, even though it remains on the books, given that the court has said it's unenforceable. However, for those people out there who think, well, that's the final say, you need to brush up on your history, because the Supreme Court has reversed itself many, many, many times, and not just on little issues, but on the issues of separate but equal, the Democrat-created segregation model. They have reversed themselves on issues related to human bondage, as you know it as slavery. They have reversed themselves on issues related to religious freedom, to free speech, you name it. The Supreme Court has reversed itself many, many times in the history of this country. And the idea that, well, they said this, and that somehow has some kind of permanence, it doesn't. And it's a very much, let's put it this way, a much more flexible, or a Supreme Court ruling is a much more flexible thing than, say, an amendment to the Constitution. Even those, they try to interfere with those. But that is something that's expressly there, such as the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. And then those are supposed to be the guidelines that they're supposed to be. They are not always that the court uses. In this case, they didn't, as you pointed out and I've pointed out, they did not compel the states to repeal laws. The legislature would have to do that. So at this point, the people's representatives, and I might remind you, Democrats that are out there, that the people's representatives remained all dominated by Democrats for a couple of decades after this opinion in Texas, for the most part, almost two decades, a little more than two decades. I guess it was early 90s when we took the majority of the legislature. I was helping with that. I forget the dates. But the fact is, the people's representatives never chose to repeal, to change the law to say that abortion is illegal. They cannot enforce it at this point, but the law is on the books. So again, I'm quite bothered given that the contents of the Senate bill from the last session, and then that fact that the city is hiding behind this idea that this ordinance is contrary to state law. They've never, none of these cities have gone around and said, oh, wait a minute, we're home rule cities, but we can't do this. They're always pushing the limits. I mean, Denton tried to take over the Railroad Commission's job of regulating things in the oil and gas business. The tons of cities passed these plastic bag bans.
Absolutely.
And all of them were saying, well, because we're home rule cities, we can do whatever we want because it's not expressly forbidden. And in those, you say, well, Robert, wait a minute. You were arguing against those, and those things got turned around by the courts. Right, because they were lying. They were expressly banned. You know, wages and things like that, those are things that are set under state law, and the law says that the state has responsibility. Waste stream, specifically as the term, was what undid the plastic bag bans because they were talking about it being a waste product and a pollution product, and the state governs the legality and issues over waste stream, just like it governs the environmental regulation and drilling regulation and things of oil and gas. So home rule cities have always pushed the envelope on this, but all of a sudden when it comes to pro-life, we're afraid of liability. This is what is right. Particularly angering for someone who knows some of these people well and has, you know, or sort of well, and I just, where's the liability? And so back to Latrell Joy, she's expressed she was very concerned over this, what they call private enforcement, opening these things up to torts. In other words, for people to be able to sue the abortionist and win a tort, a case. And my question is, where's the inerrancy in that? Because I don't know that there's any law, statute, or barrier that prevents someone from doing so now. Oh, true. In this case, Lubbock, in its ordinance, would create that as being a tort. But basically, you're talking about compensatory damages, punitive damages, and attorney's fees, and that compensatory includes emotional distress. What's to stop the half the DNA father? Maybe, and people tend to forget that abortion happens in all kinds of situations, including within marriages.
Right.
If they have a child, he's excited to have the child, they want a child, then she goes on her own and aborts the child, claiming, well, it's my body. Well, it's not. It's unique DNA. Every bit of it, it's not her DNA. It is a separate human being. Half that DNA comes from the father. Is there any law that prevents the father from filing a suit in court now? I mean, I guess maybe a judge might rule he doesn't have standing. I don't know that. But in this case, we're trying to give the person standing. And absolutely, I don't know where that gives the city any liability. They've scared the death out of a bunch of business people on this over this, oh, it'll open us up to liability. Well, wait a minute. The city's not the one filing the suit. If the private individual files the suit and a judge decides that the ordinance cannot stand, that doesn't open the city up to any liability. It just means the dismissal of the case. This whole liability thing is an absolute lie from the city of Lubbock, in my opinion. Address that.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the city of Lubbock trying to make it sound like this is going to cost the city of Lubbock a whole lot of money.
They don't ever care about other stuff. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, that's a lighthearted, serious aside.
But the thing is, where is the? I mean, the ones who are suing would be the people, the citizens of Lubbock.
It'd be a private party, or any member, any citizen of Texas. But it would be a private party, so there's no liability to the city. Like I said, the worst from a pro-life perspective that could happen is that a judge simply dismiss the case and say you don't have standing under state law to sue. The plaintiff then, the complainant, the one suing, would say, wait a minute, we're suing under this city ordinance. And then the judge says the city ordinance is not proper because the state sets those rules as to what can become the courts. And then that becomes a separate lawsuit. And it doesn't require, it wouldn't require the city. It would probably be us following that case in court, filing for appeals. It would not be the city.
Right.
And yet they're telling everybody and scaring the you know what out of people who that, oh my gosh, this thing is going to open us up to all these lawsuits and judgments. And boy, you know, again, they don't worry about money on other things, but all of a sudden they're really worried about it. So,
you ever wonder who their boss is? Like, who are they really listening to?
Well, you know, is it God or is it the other? Ronald Reagan always said there's not a left or right, there's an up or a down, and he meant heaven or hell. And this is serious.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4tx.com. God bless you, God bless the unborn, and please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.